Literally. If you're a couple and you have two, could you lift one of those up and then I can give the other one to somebody else? That would be a wonderful. You got some more coming? Is there another that needed one that's okay? Could you pass that, Andy? Thank you. All right. There's more being printed, so. But I'm going to go ahead and get started so that we can end on time, and let me just pray for our time together. Thanks for being here. Gracious God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to reflect on your faithfulness, to celebrate the greatness of you as our God and the one that is the head of this church, and the desire that we have to continue walking with you faithfully into this year as we unite our hearts together in the mission that you've given to your church. We ask that your Spirit would guide us in this time of reflection, of celebration, of learning, and of the desire that we have to be one body functioning in our many parts, all to your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Lord has done many different things in this church in the last 3 years. Only two of those have I participated in, but there's been a lot of thought, a lot of collaboration, certainly a lot of prayer put into this ministry plan in its origination. Not being here when it happened, you know more about it than I do as far as the origin. I've heard, but I wasn't here. But just the opportunity that we have to put our focus in a particular direction. So why have a plan at all? Like, what's the purpose of even having these things written down? What do we hope to become as a church? Well, we've answered that on the very cover there under our vision statement. It says, for this and coming generations, Redeemer desires to be a Christ-centered, gospel-driven, spirit-filled, equipping church where every member is a minister and a missionary. Question is, are we there yet? Accomplished? Enter glory, right? That would be great. Well, we're not quite there yet. We have done a lot of work in that direction. We're progressing in that way. There's also a lot of areas for growth in accomplishing that particular vision. So the question is, where should we focus? Because that's a pretty big vision. How do you get a handle on something so massive? Well, as they like to say, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And so to eat this elephant, the ministry plan was divided up, this elephant, into eight sections. And you see them in the boxes on the first page there. Lord's Day worship, preaching, teaching God's word, prayer, fellowship and discipleship, evangelism, biblical leadership and development, biblical leadership, development and deployment, mercy ministries, and stewardship of resources. Those are the eight primary sections that you, as a church, agreed to focus on in this particular plan. And each of those subsections have five to ten objectives in them. Now, it is rather difficult to focus on 10 things as a church to do over the course of a year. And so we have tried to narrow them down each year to only focusing on a few things. And so in this last ministry year, the session agreed to focus on the theme of hospitality. And so the two objectives that we looked at, they're in red. You know, the word hospitality is in red when you can where you find them in this particular plan. And the two things that we focused on was the encouragement and equipping of members in hospitality to one another. So what did we do? What was the things that we tried to accomplish this last year? Well, in the planning process, we decided to develop something we called our Hospitality Sundays, the first Sunday of the month, which was last week. And so what we decided to do was to have no Sunday school on that particular Sunday. And so one of those things we discovered was communion service, you know, usually goes late. And so it's like, you know, 5 minutes to 11, or maybe it's already 11, and people are scurrying and frantic and this and that. And it just didn't, it was just every month, it was just that same kind of crazy pressure. And so we decided, let's alleviate that pressure, and we're not doing Sunday school on those Sundays. And we're encouraging people to participate in inviting one another over to your homes to enjoy that time of hospitality, getting to know one another, people that you may not know well, inviting them over and or being invited over, and that opportunity. And what that also did was it gave the Sunday school teachers the opportunity to participate in that fellowship, because on any given week, right, they're busy right now, and there's all the other people that are out there, right, having conversation, interacting with people, and they get little snippets of it right after church for 2 minutes, and then maybe right after Sunday school for a few more minutes. But the Sunday school teachers were being left out of the majority of the fellowship that we had as a church, and so we wanted to make sure they were included in that, and so that's why we decided to not have Sunday school on the first Sunday of the month. In addition to that, the elders agreed to have shepherding group lunches, and so there's a variety of different ways that the shepherding groups can get together and do things, but we thought that would be a good opportunity on those particular Sundays to have their shepherding group meet for lunch here. You can invite any visitor that's coming to the church on that particular day. It's a meal. It's already prepared. They can go and participate in that as well, so it's hospitable to the visitor. It's hospitable to the ministry shepherding group. And then the opportunity for that group to spend that time together. And so these are some of the things that we came up with during this year and are continuing in the life of the church in the coming year. It wasn't like we just did it for 1 year and now we're just, okay, done with that, let's move on to something else. We're trying to layer these different elements to develop a stronger hospitality within the church. Now, I can just tell you, I think I said this at the beginning of last year. When I first got here, I was so blessed to be involved in a church that was already very hospitable, more than almost any other church I'd ever been a part of. And this is what I said at this meeting last year, was this church already has that in its culture, because in the first year that our family was here, we were invited over to more homes than we were in the previous 15 years of ministry. In 1 year, right? And so, again, very blessed that that is already part of the culture, and we just want to continue that development. We haven't arrived and check it off the box, but we're continuing to develop and grow as a culture in that way. One of the other elements of our focus on hospitality was a sermon series on 1 John, focusing on the fellowship that we have with the Father and the Son, and the fellowship that we have with one another, and loving each other as Christ has loved us. In our Sunday school class, the adult Sunday school class, we focused on a variety of themes that touched on the topic of hospitality. We looked at the history, the theology, the various challenges that come in hospitality, missions and evangelism through hospitality, showing hospitality to children and adults who have disabilities, and other topics. And so all of those were recorded, and we wanted to make sure that our Sunday school teachers could also participate in that theme, though they're teaching right now, that we wanted to record it and make sure if they wanted to, they could listen to it later, and all of you can go back and listen to the things that you missed if you would like to. The second part of our focus for the year was to develop a warm and effective system of hospitality and follow-up for guests of Sunday worship. And so one of the ideas that we had was to develop a welcome team ministry and to have a more visible welcome center. And so what we did was recruited a few people that were very welcoming people, and we wanted them to be part of this team, that they could make sure that they could man that station and greet and connect with different guests that might have questions. One of the great things about this church that's been here for many years is how many of you reach out to people that have not been, that you don't recognize and maybe haven't seen in the church before, and that you speak up and you welcome them and you say hi and you get them connected in different ways. And that is a wonderful thing that we want to always continue. But we didn't really have an easy way for them to initiate and figure out, how do I get my questions answered? And so we thought having a welcome team that would do that would make sense. Well, I like the idea. And so we did it. And so after 6 months, I debriefed with the welcome team, and they said, you know, it's kind of funny. You know how many conversations we've had of visitors that have come up and talked to us? Goose egg. Like, really? I was thinking, 6 months? That's just one of you, right? No. Every single welcome team person that manned that welcome center in 6 months had zero visitors come and initiate a conversation with them. They said, you know what? When we walked away from that cabinet and we were just watching it, people will come up and get information. I don't get human nature, but we just rather be not known in some times, and we're just kind of figuring stuff out, and we don't really want that. I don't know. I can't figure out why, but we tried it, and this is the thing we do in ministry. You don't always get exactly what you envision to happen, and so we learn and we adapt. That welcome team is still active. They're still looking and seeing if people are going to come and get stuff, and then they go up and talk to them, Lord willing, and make a connection with them just as any other person, you know, not with a big sign on their chest, but they have that opportunity to connect with that person. So, hey, we're learning as an element of hospitality. The informal is going to be always the best way, but having people they can know who to talk to is also what I thought would be good, and so we're learning in that area. All right, so there's many other things that we did throughout the year. Those were our two main focuses, but you can look in the far right column all the way down and look at some of the ways that we engaged in doing the various objectives that we had throughout our year. I'll leave the time for you to do that, unless there's a particular question that somebody has about any of those areas. Is there something that you came here saying, you know, I really am curious about this particular area, or what is done, or what's going to be done, or anything like that? Does anybody have a burning question that you brought today? Is it a sizzling question? Is it a lukewarm question? Okay, we got one. Okay, yes. The Connect card. Define a lot. There is greater than zero. Absolutely. There are a lot of those that we get compared to zero. Yes. He's wondering about the Connect cards, how effective that is as far as getting people's information. I would say we get 3 to 4 a month, sometimes 6. It just depends. Totally depends. Could be 10 or could be none. But I would say on average, 6 a month. Other questions? Yes, Albert. Yes. The pastoral staff and some of the elders we were talking about, who could be some of the people. When we think of people that are very obvious in the way they go out and try to talk to people, that they would be some very welcoming people, and it really was just our thought process of that. You know, there are other things that we do, you know, where, you know, we've put like Sunday school teacher or VBS leader or something like that, and it's been in the bulletin for 4 weeks, zero. So we found it much more effective to go and ask people, you know, for their help in different things. Most people are not, for whatever reason, aren't responding to our bulletin announcements when we put them out there. So, and we can still do that, but that just, what we did was just, we tried to come up with, who can we think of, you know, that would be like that. If you know of somebody, or if anybody sitting in this room says, you know, I think I'd like to be a part of that, then just talk to me. I'd love to get you connected with the group that's there and get you plugged in using your gifts that way. Okay, good question. Yes. Yeah, if you go to the website, you'll see towards the bottom, there's a thing you can click on, and it'll actually show the list of our ministry values, and so just walking through that. So it was just a shorthand of way of doing that. I didn't actually put that in there myself, so as far as putting it out, but just that was the idea, was showing that we're living out our values in how we're doing our objectives. That was the point. Yes, Mark. You can't hear those questions. I'm so sorry. What are the value numbers at the head of every section? Values 1 and 7, value 10. And I was just saying that on the website we have our list of values, and that's corresponding to those values of the church. Yes, David. Well, you know, I was well on my way at working on small groups, and John Upton left. Yes, I'm sorry. What is the status on the development of small groups? And so my response was, you know, that I was well on my way to working on that, and John Upton left, and then we had, you know, a year and a half transition. So my focus right now is I'm starting a small group that's going to be meeting, and I'm going to be working with those people. I did training over the first year and trained about 23 people as small group leaders, and the transition from training into actually starting a group is right when everything happened. So all that effort was just kind of like, so All I can say is I'm taking a different tactic right now, and I will tell you much more about that a year from now. But having said that, if you are interested, if you want to be a part of a small group and you would like to get connected in that way, I am still going to be working with people that want to develop those. It's just not like we're going to have this launch of a Redeemer small group ministry. You get what I'm saying? The difference as far as it's not our specific focus this year. Doesn't mean we're not doing that. It just means that it's not the number one focus right now. Yes? Right now, we probably have... I mean, well, it depends. Okay, back to the question. How do you define a small group? What is a small group? Okay, so around 10 people meeting together. So we have a Saturday morning men's Bible study. We have a women's Bible study that's on Wednesdays. We have a women's Bible study that's on Thursdays. We have a men's Bible study that's on Thursdays. We also have other small groups that are meeting in people's homes. And I think there's probably 5 to 6. Now, some of them meet at different times. Some of them meet 4 times a year. Some of them meet every other week. Some of them meet once a month. So I, at this exact moment, I don't have that stat, but there's 10 to 12 right now, if you count it that way. That's what I'm saying right now. Right now, if you would like to be part of a small group, then you just talk to me and we will figure out a way to try to make that happen. If it's not connecting you with one that it currently exists and we're going to start one, I'll be happy to work with the leader. I'll be happy to help that get developed anyway. I was just trying to communicate we're not ready to say, okay, here is now the Redeemer small group ministry, right? This is how we're doing small groups. We're not there yet. Hopefully in a year. Other questions? Yes, Pete. Well, it's there. I didn't notice anything about catechism, Pete said. So it was under, we've been doing it on Wednesday nights. That's where it's listed. It's in quotes. I saw it. Anyway, it's there. And Lord willing, we get back to our Wednesday night ministry a year from now. If we have a group of people that want to be that core, and that particular portion of things can continue as it was. Do you have a follow-up? Well, they're getting instructed in Sunday school. That particular method, we've certainly encouraged parents to use the catechism in their homes, but the mechanism that we had developed for that was on Wednesday night, and right now that mechanism is not happening this particular year. Not by my preference. Yes? Yes. Yep, yeah, we're going to get into that in a minute. I'm not quite to the bolded parts yet, but if there's a question about something that's not in big bold, I'm going to get to that right now. But do you want to hold your question until I'm done? Okay, sounds good. All right, so just so for the sake of time, let me move on to our theme for this year. Thank you for the questions, by the way. So the theme for this year is how the body works. And so obviously, we have to define what is the body. Well, clearly the scriptures give us a multitude of metaphors for the church, one of them being the body. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says, "But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body." If you're familiar with that chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, then you probably already know that before that text and then after that text, Paul is making an argument to the church that we should not have members of that body saying, "I'm the eye, you little pinky toe. You're nothing compared to me. I see everything," right? So the body should not be boasting about its particular part as being better than another. But then he flips it over and he says, "You little pinky toes, right? You're very important. You cannot say that you're not part of the body. You are very significant in the body." And so we can't have the excuse that, "Oh, because I'm not an eye, I'm nothing," or "because I'm an eye, I'm everything." right? We can't have either extreme, and so it comes back to these verses where it says God arranged the members in the body as he chose. If you don't like the part of the member of the body that you are, bring it up to the one that put you there, right? That is the one who has ordered the body in the way that it should be. And then we are trying to help figure out, okay, how is that body functioning in the way that is most healthy? And how do we nurture and encourage that? And so that's what we're trying to focus on for this particular year. Now, each member of the body has been empowered by God with particular spiritual gifts for the purpose of building up the whole body, right? It's not just to have that one piece of body, that one member, just emphasizing the power of that one thing. No, it's for the purpose of each individual's gifts to build up the whole, and so that we might display the full character of Christ as we are working together as one body. And so as we think about some of the ways that God has given us his divine power, he's encouraged us to use those different things. A lot of times we have a misunderstanding of the appropriate use of biblical authority. And so we sometimes assume that if we don't have a certain level of authority, then we're not as important or we're not as powerful as those that have more authority. Well, very helpful to us, in our own book of church order, we have an explanation in the paragraph saying that the special offices of those that are given particular authority in the church are not primary. They actually flow out of the general office of believer. It says in chapter 3, verse 1, this is the book of church order, not the Bible. The power which Christ has committed to his church is not vested in the special offices alone, but in the whole body. All believers are endued with the Spirit and called of Christ to join in the worship, edification, and witness of the church, which grows as the body of Christ, fitly framed and knit together through that which every joint supplies, according to the working in due measure of each part. The power of believers in their general office includes the right to acknowledge and desire the exercise of gifts and calling of the special offices. And if you know anything about that book, you know that it primarily focuses on the special offices. But it starts showing that what is most important is that office of believer, that every one of us have particular responsibilities, right? You don't need to get session approval to encourage one another, right? You don't need to get session approval to love one another. Right? There are plenty of one another verses that are directed from your Lord to you that you can use and enact and be a part of and be accountable to every single day of your lives, and praise God for that. And it's from out of that that God orders his church in a few different ways. And so for this year, we have looked at, there's probably 10 objectives in the ministry plan that we could have related to this idea of how the body works. There's probably more than that, but we looked at 10, and so we tried to narrow, the pastoral staff discussed and tried to narrow that down a little bit. We got down to 5. So trying to focus on at least these 5 this year, whether we get to all of them or not, we'll see, but they're all the ones that are bolded in your packet there. So the first one is to equip every member to discover and employ the spiritual gifts God has given them to minister to the body. Now, we want to handle that in the most biblical way. You've probably seen in a variety of other churches that there's a wide spectrum of how people do that, you know, with various gift tests. And when I was at Saddleback Church years and years ago for a youth conference, you know, they have this spiritual gifts test they give to new members, and once they fill it out, they get plugged into a lifelong ministry. They're like, we have you figured out, and you're going to be in this ministry until you're dead. It's a little bold, right, as far as saying that's who you are, right? Now, yeah, we have certain gifts and those things like that, but to not recognize there are various seasons in life to be serving, right? We have to think through that as well in the life of the church and in your life in particular. Some of you are laboring, you know, with 15 different hats, you know, for year after year, you know, there's going to be times when you need a season right, to have a break. You know, we do that with our officers. We have a season where they take a break as well. And so we just say, you know, sometimes maybe that's the most obedient thing, is to actually do less. And other people that maybe are involved in one thing every other year, you know, maybe they're going to step up and do a few more things in being part of the body. But the point is that we want to better understand how has God gifted us as individuals, and then how do we then take the knowledge that we have of that and actually get it engaged in the life of the church where God is at work in different ways. And so we want to grow. It doesn't mean we have this all figured out, right? You know, like in my back pocket, it's like I have the perfect plan. I thought the Welcome Center was the perfect plan. I really did. I thought, man, this is so great. I'm really excited about that thing. It's going to go well. And it went completely opposite of what I expected. I have no doubt a year from now, I'll say, yeah, we tried that. A for effort. Right? And it's just, that's the way it is. We're not omniscient. But we're going to step into some of these things, and by the grace of God, by His Spirit, trying to be as faithful to Scripture as we can be, right? We're going to try to engage you and enable you to be equipped in the use of your spiritual gifts. In relation to that, we have number two, provide equipping for members who are presently leading ministries in our body and resource those ministries, right? So it's not just taking the 80%, you know, as we say the 80-20 thing, right? I don't know what the actual percentage is here, but, you know, when you think about, you know, the 80-20 thing, it's not just taking the 80 and trying to encourage them to become part of the 20 and make it more 50-50. That's not what I'm saying. But we do have those that are regularly serving, and we want to make sure that they're not just floating out there and feeling unsupported and feeling like they're not exactly sure what they should be doing, and make sure that as a body, we are united together and well connected in that way. Tom, do you have a question? I'm hitting the bolded parts. I hope I bolded that part. Well, I made my own notes, and I'm not exactly looking at yours, but let me just find where I bolded that one. Is it not bolded? Oh, you mean you found a mistake? Yeah. Find those? Yeah. It's great. It is a spiritual gift. There's no, and a lot of people have it. Yeah. Five. Boom, you got it. Okay, perfect. So five, kind of peaches pinky section. The very last one, provide ongoing equipping to Redeemer's ministry. That says ministry staff. Mine is members leading. Can you take my word for it for this moment? And I'm going to move on. Okay. So presently leading ministries in our body and resource those particular ministries. So for the ministry leaders that we have, what we've done over the last couple years is twice a year we've had a ministry leaders forum. And at those forums, we try to get them together and develop training for how to be able to do their particular tasks, giving them the tools that they need as well as we can, and for them to move forward in their ministries, having the support and the training that they need. We've scratched the surface of what we could do with that, but there has been some effort focused on this in the past. We're just going to try to develop it even more. For example, we want to make, and maybe it goes back to Elbert's question earlier, you know, how did you determine who to recruit for the welcome team, right? So whatever the ministry is, you know, what are the very clear on-ramps for you as members getting involved in ministry? We want to make that so simple and so clear that it's just like, if I want to get involved, I'm going to do that, okay? Well, right now, the tool that we have for that is our Get Connected page, right? John Sharp and Andrew Farr worked diligently for many weeks, if not months, to help put together all the different ministries that we do into one place, and you can go to that place. It's organized by activity, and it's organized by person. So whichever, I want to be part of a small group, boom, I click that, I say, okay, I'm going to talk to these people, or I want to be part of Sunday school, or I want to be learning what the middle school youth group is doing, and so you look under that age group. You know, whatever direction, whether it's an activity or it's a certain people group you want to be with, you can find what we do either way, and there should be the name of a person there that you can contact, whether you want to participate or you want to be involved in serving in that particular place, it does have a place for any person with any interest to see what we currently do and then to get engaged in that way. We want to make it even easier than that, but that's just one of the ways that we've done that in the past. Number three is to equip the women of the church to lead in the roles and spheres God has called them to and gifted them for. Now, historically, we have seen the extremes of this particular topic, and you're not going to hear from us that we are, you know, rolling out the start of women elders and women deacons, right? It's not going to happen, okay? But does that mean we just stay silent on the issue of women involved in ministry? Well, that's what a lot of churches have done, particularly Reformed churches, right? And so what do we do to take the most faithful, biblical understanding of a woman's role in serving in the church, and how do we make sure that we are doing that so that you say, yes, I know clearly these are some of the ways that I can be involved and I'm going to be involved, I'm already involved, and we have a better understanding of that as a church. We don't want to just, you know, hope that somebody else figures it out. We want to look at that and say, how do we do that in the clearest, most helpful, and biblical way possible? Number four, equip parents to raise their children in the discipline and training of the Lord by developing seminars designed to guide parents through difficult challenges their children face. Now, there's a number of things that Pastor Dan communicated to the parents that were at the meeting a couple of weeks ago, and one of the things that he highlighted was a conference on gospel sexuality that is going to be planned for the spring. Pastor Dan and I walked through the training for that last week. It's very helpful, very excellent stuff, and we want to recognize that the world is certainly talking about it. What does the Bible say about these things? How do we give a biblical language for dealing with one of the greatest threats to the children of the church and one of the greatest things that actually pulls people away from biblical faithfulness is this hypersexualized culture that we live in. How do we deal with that and confront it biblically, wisely, and lovingly? And the seminar that we got training in and looked at, I think will certainly begin that process. It's not like it's got all the answers, but it certainly has a wonderful help moving in that particular direction. Number five is to promote the importance of outreach and evangelism to youth of Redeemer through regular short-term mission trips and outreach opportunities. One of the other things Pastor Dan announced was the planning for a short-term mission trip for our probably the high school age coming up next summer. And so to fulfill that particular objective, those are some of the plans that are put in place. If you want to be part of that planning or you are excited to have your kids be a part of that in some way, talk to him. He can give you more information as those ideas get developed and they put the plans in place. Now, we would ask you to pray for wisdom as we address these five areas. You can see that there's a lot of other things that say 1920 that are bolded, the year 2019, 2020, that's bolded, that are things that are going to be relevant to what we do. But what we're saying is our focus is going to try to be these five areas in the coming year. And so one of the things, you know, one of the outlets that we have for trying to engage this, again, is our adult Sunday school class. So I'd love to see every one of you here next week as Dr. Beeke goes through the focus on the body of Christ. And so we're going to be looking at the fact that the body has a head, and we're very glad for that. Have you ever seen a body without one? Gruesome sight. Don't want that, right? And so as we think about the church, right? It has a head. His name is Jesus Christ. He is Lord of glory, and he is a very good head of the church. And we want to learn a little bit more about that. The following week, engaging in the fact that the body also has a spirit, that we have been filled by the Holy Spirit. We are a dwelling place for the Spirit of God. And then following that, we're going to get into the classic definition of the church as one holy, Catholic, and apostolic. And so we're trying to look at as clearly biblically as we can this idea of being the body of Christ. And though we're going to be looking at, yes, the history, yes, the theology of these things, we also want to make it as practical as possible, taking these ideas that we're learning about being the body of Christ and saying, okay, how do we live that out as a church? And so hopefully we can engage in some of that in our question and answer times to think through that in a more clear way. Well, are there any final questions for what we've covered about our theme for the body of, or being, how the body works is the actual theme, how the body works. Did you have your question? Did I answer it? Okay. Okay. Sure. Yeah, I think, you know, over this last year, both the middle and high school have been involved in our food pantry here. So they were doing, you know, things like that. But I think, you know, as I said, my small group thing kind of got halted, you know, when all the changes happened. Well, a lot of the momentum Dan had as well, you know, was slowed down. So the mission trip, I think, is one plan. If you want to bring it up to them and say, you know, here's some ideas I had and here's ways I'd like to help serve with that, I think he'd be thrilled to talk to you about those kinds of things. It'd be great. Other questions or comments? All right, well, I wanted to give Pastor Jeff the opportunity to share some of his own thoughts on what we're doing here and just thinking about the ministry plan in general. I'm just going to give you my mic and make it easier.
How many of you have been here as long as this plan has existed? Oh my. Like, it looks like about 90% of you, 80% maybe? Maybe I should ask it this way. How many of you are learning about this for the first time this morning? Well, this is an exclusive group to which I don't really belong because I thought about it before this morning, but my introduction has been relatively recent. And so someone asked me, why did you decide to come to Redeemer? Well, this had a lot to do with it because it is a relatively rare thing in my experience. Now, it's only my experience, so yours may vary, to have a church that's thinking intentionally about who it is and what it's trying to do. And in some ways, you might look at this and say, well, the church has existed for a long time without this. So what's the point? The point is this, that we are trying as a church to be biblically faithful to God in the context in which he has put us. It's really that simple. Different churches exist in different places with different combinations of people, different gifts, different communities, whatever it is. For us, this is what we're trying to work out. And I am excited by it. I'm glad for it. Does it mean it's all worked out perfectly? No, it's not. I mean, you get some of that sense that we're trying to work through it as we're doing it. And that's okay, because that's the nature of these sorts of plans. It's not all readily apparent how to work it out in the moment when it happens. But there are a lot of good things that are being planned this year, and by looking at this, you get a sense of our collective commitment to certain kinds of plans that hopefully will be really not only helpful to us as a community of believers, those who are here, we want to be helpful to each other, but helpful in the calling that God has given us both internally and externally. So I'm very thankful for this. I'm very excited about it. And you'll have plenty of opportunity over the next year to see how this works out. So I am hesitant to say, do you have any questions? Because you should ask Jonathan maybe. If you have any questions about my sense of this or my commitment to, you can ask me that. Otherwise, I'm going to punt to the people who know more about it than I do. You can ask, though. I'm not hesitant to talk. And I'm also not going to give you like 10 minutes to ask. I guess we're done then. So I am glad for all the work that's been put into this. And I'm really thankful for the way that God has already used this and for the way that he's going to. Can I close in prayer? Father, thank you for all those who have come before us, people who have spent a lot of time, effort, looking at what it means to be a church that is biblically faithful, joyful, and yet is concerned to do your will in the place and in the context that you've given us. Lord, we don't want to simply be doing things. We want to do things that please you. And so we look to your word, and we pray that you would make us serious students of your word, that you would help us both in the service and outside of the service, when we're at home, when we're reading the scripture, when we're praying, when we're talking with friends, we're meeting with other people. Lord, help us to be formed by the Word of God. And then also we pray that you would help us to be sensitive to the needs of our congregation, both inside and outside. You've brought us a wonderful collection of people from various backgrounds, with various perspectives, and you have brought us into one body by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we're deeply thankful for that this morning. And you've also called us to minister beyond the walls of this building to those who are in our communities, our neighbors, our friends, our co-workers who do not know Jesus Christ. And we pray that through this ministry plan, you would also equip us to do that great work, that we would disciple those who are here and bring the gospel to those who are not. Thank you for bringing exactly the right combination of people to this church so that, as Jonathan read from 1 Corinthians 12, we have a beautiful combination where we complement, encourage, and help each other grow. Lord, we pray that in the ways that you're doing that already, you would cause it to multiply and to grow for the glory of your Son's name, in whom we pray. Amen.